But in Chicago, Ben Reitman finds a place for her to speak. He is called the King of the Hobos. He is this character, this wild, crazy character, who is a doctor, sort of. Well, he is a doctor. Yes, he went to medical school in some strange way. He was working as a janitor in the medical school, and the guy who was supposed to give a medical lecture one day did not show up, and Reitman puts down his tools, janitor tools, and gets up there and delivers the lecture. Tells you something about the state of medical science, I guess. And then Wangle gets money, goes to medical school, becomes a doctor, but not an ordinary doctor, a street corner, a street front, storefront doctor, you know. He takes care of prostitutes and hobos, people without money. He gives gynecological information, to birth control information to women. He does things that doctors don't do, and he's a flamboyant character, and he goes around with a cowboy hat. And I should read to you Emma Goldman's description of him from as she encounters him. He arrived in the afternoon, an exotic, picturesque figure with a large black cowboy hat, flowing silk tie, and huge cane. His voice was deep, soft, and ingratiating. He was a tall man with a finely shaped head covered with a mass of curly black hair, which evidently had not been washed for some time. His eyes were brown, large, and dreamy. His lips, disclosing beautiful teeth when he smiled, were full and passionate. He looked a handsome brute. I could not take my eyes off his hands. He describes her in his book, his unpublished autobiography called Following the Monkey. Don't ask me. How shall I describe Emma Goldman? I have seen fully 500 writers attempt to do it. She was short, about 5 feet, and weighed about 140 pounds. She had a powerful face, beautiful, strong, clear blue eyes, a nose that was not Jewish. He was an expert on Jewish noses. A nose that was not Jewish, and a strong, firm jaw. She was somewhat nearsighted and wore heavy glasses. Her hair was blonde and silken, and she wore it in a simple knot at the back of her head. Anyway, the electricity between them was indescribable, you see. And there followed this 10-year passionate affair, which, if you read some of their letters, you will only get an idea of what it was like. But the important thing about it is, it's not the most important thing to her, to us. The important thing was that, as she put it herself, she was swept up in what became a dependent relationship on a man. This woman of tremendous independence of strength, this woman who spoke out for the equality of women and the independence of women and the strength of women, became dependent on this relationship. And she acknowledged this and understood it, even while she couldn't help herself. It didn't stop her, and this must be said, it did not stop her from carrying on her political activity. I mean, sometimes it got in the way for a day or two, a night or three, but it didn't stop her from, in fact, Reitman became her lecture organizer. He decided he would manage her lecture tours around the country. That way they could travel together, and he would be doing something useful. And he believed sort of in the anarchist cause, although her anarchist friends looked on him with horror, you know, because among anarchists, he was an anarchist. You know, he was like, on the spectrum of anarchism, he was off the edge, you see. He was a scoundrel. I mean, he was a scoundrel the way, while he was having this thing with Emma Goldman, all the time. And of course, this led to a lot of trouble and a lot of conflict and a lot of anguish. A very complex guy, a scoundrel, and yet he had some good values and wanted to do some good things and wanted to help people. But when he went off, as I say, her anarchist friends were horrified when she went off with him, and his hobo friends were scandalized. I don't know if I have this. One of them, one of them I think called Cincinnati Fats, denounced Reitman for going off with Emma Goldman, and instead of staying there in Chicago, with his hobo friends.